Joshua chapter number 3. Man, it's good to be in church. I'm excited about today. I'm excited about being saved. Man, I had the opportunity to listen to some news. I am excited about being a child of God. And the president is dropping Armageddon terms. I thought, fine. I know how it ends. I know how this is going to go. And that's great. And having the news guys say he's referencing from the last book of the Bible where all of good and evil will meet and fight. I thought, that's the news guy talking. Yeah. I'm thinking that's got to get someone to get their Bible out and say, that's really in there? And praise the Lord, anything that brings people closer to Christ, I'm in favor of. And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord, we have a promise. Promise a home in heaven. Joshua chapter 3. Thankful for, again, our church. And, nothing to do with the message, just thinking about some things. And really appreciate, I know to you it might not have been much, but to us, that grill is a huge blessing. I'm telling you, every time we grill on it, and we have grilled on it a lot, we've gone through a bag and a half of pellets. And say, is that good or bad? That's great. And that's happy. Every time I start that thing up, I just thank the Lord for you all. And really, really appreciate that. And love you. And thankful to be able to be your pastor. I was talking to someone yesterday, and just he was an evangelist, and he's like, tell me your story. Well, let me tell you what God has done. And here we are, and thankful to be able to serve the Lord to any capacity, and thankful for this. Thankful for the decorations. Came in this morning, and I saw these. I'm like, oh, these belong back here. Then the ladies are like, did you touch the stuff? I said, yeah, I touched the stuff. And they said, don't touch the stuff. I said, okay. So we moved them back, and this is where these are supposed to be. And my role is Joshua chapter number 3. Their role is prettiness, and never the twain shall meet. And that's good for everybody. That's good for everybody. Let's pray and ask the Lord to meet with us here this morning. Heavenly Father, we need you. God, I'm excited about your word. I'm excited about you. And I'm excited about living a life of faith. God, thank you for giving us the ability to just obey you. Thank you for speaking to us. And God, help us to be obedient in that way. Lord, help us to listen to that still small voice. Lord, help us to listen to your leading. Help us to just be content with the things that you have for us. Lord, we need you here more than ever before. Lord, I pray for the burdens and the cares that are here. Lord, heavy things upon our hearts. God, I pray that you'd make those burdens lighter. God, I pray as we bring our petitions before you that, God, you would hear. God, I pray if there's sin in the camp. God, I pray that today it would be repented of and turned from. And God, a free life would be lived in your righteousness. And God, I pray that, again, there's a need that is only you can meet. Lord, I pray you do that through the service here today. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter number 3, we are coming off of, if you can turn back to just Joshua chapter number 1, and it's not far. If you made it to Joshua 3, it's not a problem to go to Joshua 1. And 40 years ago they crossed the Red Sea. I think about that, and you know, in my mind, I remember the first time I heard the story. We were in a upstairs classroom at a Calvary Chapel. That's where I got saved, and there we were, and Tim Kuhn was my teacher, and he was teaching us about Moses, and he taught us about the Red Sea. Say, I don't know any of these people. You're right, that's fine. But I remember as a young boy thinking about that stuff and thinking about walking through those walls of water on dry ground, and as a little boy, boys, not that you're little boys, but more close to that age, I'm thinking, did the fish like swim up to the edge and look at that? And what did that water look like? And then have the water come down on those chariots? And just what a great thing. Joshua chapter number 1, it's been 40 years since that. It's been 40 years of wandering through the wilderness. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to go to a men's conference and teach a little bit over there at Calvary Heights. And Calvary Heights, in my mind, is in West Seneca. And my GPS says I'm about a tenth of a mile, or maybe a quarter or a half a mile, and all the signs I see are for Elma or some other town that I did not think of. And I have the sinking feeling in my heart, I've typed in the wrong directions. I'm on time, but this is not on time because I'm going to have to go some, and that awful feeling of not being where you're supposed to be, the feeling of wandering or misguided. I hate that feeling. Imagine wandering around for 40 years. Man, I'd take a big stick and put it right there. And if I came back and saw that big stick, I'd raise my hand and say, hey, we've been here before. But for 40 years, God keeps them wandering. A 3 or 4 day journey has them wandering for 40 years. 40 years of a generation dying off. He said, because of their lack of faith, this group doesn't get to see that. And one by one, there they go. 40 years of Moses as their leader. Hey, you grow accustomed to somebody. My kids were asking, maybe it was a student, why do we have term limits? That's great. That's a good thing. Well, if they're a good leader, shouldn't we want them for a leader for all time? No, man gets corrupted after a while. Term limits are good. Imagine having Moses, though, for 40 years. Grow accustomed to how Moses speaks, that ear tuned to Moses. Moses tuned to God. And there Moses takes the messages of God and brings it across. Moses, the judge, then appoints other judges. This has been their leader for the last 40 years. 40 years of manna. Pastor Seatman asks funny questions to our students in the mornings, and he'll say, if you could have one food for the rest of your life, what would you have? Pizza. Because there's breakfast pizza, there's dessert pizza. You can have, if you're feeling kind of veggie and healthy, you have a veggie lovers. If you're feeling bad, you put the anchovies and the black olives and the white sauce on it. I mean, that's where you go. Pizza. 40 years of manna. Man. 40 years of tents. I don't know. It took a lot, the act of God, bud, to get me to camp one night. I checked in a 40-mile radius whether there was a drop of rain anywhere. I checked to see what the temperature was going to be. I scoped out the area. Is it good? Is it, how far away is the bathroom? Like, is there amenity? What's going on? One night, that's it. Took a lot. Man, 40 years of tents. 40 years of peace. Not one war. Not one battle. Not one fight. Joshua chapter number 1. Now after Joshua 1:1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came to pass. It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. The wandering was about to end. A generation had gone by. A new leader is stepping forward, placed by God. The years of manna would no longer be. The transition from tents to homes would take place. And after 40 years of peace, there was going to be some battles. From the last book of the law to the start of Joshua, a lot is about to change. And here we have Joshua, chapter number 3. Joshua chapter number 3 and verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel. and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. Here they find themselves in a new position, a place they actually had not been before. They're standing looking at new view. What is this place? This is the Jordan River. We know about the Jordan River. There they lodged, sitting and waiting, what does the Bible say? For 3 days. One of the hardest things in your entire life, that God will lead you to a place and say this: wait here. Years ago, my kids will testify the story. I had a run into the store, and if you're familiar with children in the store, sometimes it's just easier just to say, wait here. Well, some children are better at that than others. And there I am in the store, and I turned around, and there was one of the children. Didn't I tell you? And I feel like that sometimes with the Lord, right? God says, I want you to go, and I want you to sit right here. And what do? The minute he turns around, we get up. The scripture says in Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord. Say, that's so wimpy. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, in the Lord. Hey, there's an important time period in waiting. Why? What does that teach us? It teaches us patience. It teaches us dependence on God. Hey, maybe you're in a season of just waiting and go, oh, this is frustrating. Yeah, but what's God trying to do with you right now? The Bible says that in that waiting period, he was strengthening their heart. Hey, sometimes in our life, we just want to go, go, go. Every now and then, the Lord just says, sit down for a minute. Why? Because you need some strengthening. I say, wait on the Lord. Psalm 62 and verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Is that your testimony this morning? Is that your way of living? I'm just waiting on God. I'm just dependent on God. Whatever God says, that's what I'm going to do. That's the nation of Israel right now. There they are, wandering for 40 years. Moses is gone. All of a sudden, things are changing. All of a sudden, Joshua is the voice that they hear. And they get led to the banks of the Jordan River and say, all right, stop here. Yeah, but I thought we were going to go over there. Yeah, just stop here right now. Do you know what would happen if they went ahead of God's plan? They drowned. That's what would happen. See, God's timing is so important, Jacob. The right thing at the wrong time, not a good thing. Years ago, we had a friend of ours, and they were young and made some bad decisions in their life, and she didn't know the Lord and had a kid in high school. And their daughter, I remember their daughter asked the friend of ours, and Sarah and I were engaged and getting married, and the daughter said, well, they can't get married, they don't have any children. No, you do it the other way. Right? You get married first, and then, you know, that just works out. I mean, right thing, wrong time, right? Hey, there's a process. Had the nation of Israel taken one step into the water before God led them into the Jordan River, they would have drowned. The Jordan would have swept them away. But waiting on God, man, that's hard. Can I tell you, when you're in the midst of waiting on the Lord, that's really difficult. That'll be some of the hardest answers to prayer that you'll ever hear. God, you want me to do this? Yes or no? And he comes back with, wait. Well, I don't want to wait. I'm not good at waiting. I need to be active. God says, you need to wait on me. Had they gone ahead, they would have drowned, for the river was currently overflowing its banks. This was their position or their circumstance. This is where they found themselves. And I ask you, take a look at where you're at in your life. Yeah, God led me to this spot. And then he just told me to wait. Great. So Say, why? Because you're right where God wants you to be. He's doing some things. He's strengthening thy heart. He's making you dependent on Him. You're looking to Him for, okay, is it time to go? Is it time to turn? Is it time to move forward? Hey, there's an important position of waiting on God. One of the least enjoyed as a Christian, waiting on God. Because it takes the decision out of my hands. Here's the plan. How many of you like plans? I like plans. Joshua chapter number 3 and verse 2. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Here's the plan. When the ark moves, you move. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. How far? Oh, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Say, how long is that? That's about 3,000 feet, just under, just to make it easy, around a half a mile. Okay, so we're measuring all right, okay? Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. You're in a new place. Are you kidding me? We walked every inch of this wilderness. We've been in the highs. We've been in the lows. We've been in those places 50 times. God says, I'm going to take you to a place you've never been before. And I need you to be able to see me. Hey, in your life, young person, listen to me. In your life, if you're embarking in a place you've never been before, it'd be a real good idea to get eyes on Jesus and just let Him lead and guide you the whole way. Because ye have not passed this way heretofore. So what do? They're to follow the ark. Follow the ark. Jeremiah 29:11. What a great verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to have you an expected end. You know what that means? God's got a plan for you. He's got direction for your life, Ashley. He's leading you and guiding you. Now, I just need to figure out, I just need to keep my right, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus. The author, we get ourselves in a world of trouble when we take our eyes off the ark, when we take our eyes off God and say, you know what, I think I know a better way. I know a shortcut. This is going to be a much easier path. Are you kidding me? I don't want to go through water. I don't like water. I'm afraid of water. I don't know how to swim. I don't have a boat. Where's my life preserver? We come up with 1,000 excuses why we can't follow the Lord. I don't have enough money. I've never been there before. Who's going to be there? Where are my friends? What about my family? And we come up, I'm going to go the safe way. And God says, you're going to end up lost. He says, I have an expected end for you. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. Listen, I know those. These are my life verses. But don't dismiss a verse just because you're familiar with it. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. After 3 days of sitting there, the plan is this. When the ark moves, we move, and the ark stays a half a mile out in front. Let me tell you, at 44 years of age, seeing a half a mile out without some spectacles there, You got to really be focused. If I put me half a mile out there, it's like, okay, everybody follow me. Did he say anything? I can't hear him. No, they're just watching for that ark. And when that ark moves, we move. They left some distance. Why? Because they had to see where to go. 2,000 cubits are just over a half a mile. That's the plan. At Christmas time, our children get presents. And those presents are a manual on how to build this plastic piece of wonderment from China. You got one shot at it. because once you put things together, they're unable to. They have those like pushed together, and then they open up, and the only way to get them out is to have a giant 3D printer, and you're going to have to make a new piece. That's it. Those are your options. I know how to make this. Hold on. It's one thing to have the plan. It's a second thing to follow the plan. We know what God wants us to do. We're standing by the Jordan River. We know where to go. He has told us specifically, when you see the ark move, it's a half a mile out, 2,000 cubits. You'll see it. They go down into the water. You're up on the banks there. You watch it. When they go, you go. That's the plan. But the question is, what did they do? So it is in your life and my life. God says, this is what I want you to do. I know what the plan is. But the question is, what are you going to do? When it comes time to move, when the ark moves, what do you do? When it comes time to put your foot in the water, what are you going to do? Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do, look at, wonders among you. He says, get clean. Purify yourself. Make yourself holy. Set yourself apart for holy use. Hey, that'd be a good, can I say, this would be good instruction every Saturday. Say, what do you mean? If every Saturday you open up the Word of God and said, hey, we're going to sanctify ourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I believe this with all my heart. How Saturday goes will directly impact Sunday. You go out living like the world on Saturday, Sunday's tough. You set yourself apart, you sanctify yourself and say, you know what, I'm going to separate from the world. I'm going to say no to that. I'm going to try and keep myself clean and holy. And you walk into this place with a different mindset, a desire to worship the Lord. Hey, there was no time to create baggage here. This was the preparation. The source of the wonder is the Lord. Look at that. The Lord will do wonders among you. Let us remember that. When God is working around us, it is God that is doing the wonders, not us. The Levites did not split and part the Jordan River. God did that. Man, I want to be in a place where I can see God do wonders around me. What does that take? Well, that takes me having a time period of waiting. That's going to take me having to be obedient and be able to hear his voice and be able to see him and follow him and be sanctified. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For after their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Hey, if you're getting ready to take a step of faith there, better make sure you're clean. Better make sure that you can hear the voice of God. Better make sure that sin is out of the way. This morning we were driving in, and we left the house around 8:30 or so, right around then. And ever have that like morning dew before the defrost hits? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. Teddy, on your car, have you ever seen that? Okay, no. So there's this morning haze, and then you're driving east, and the sun is just over, and it hits that, and it's like the brilliance and the glory of God fills your vehicle. Well, I had the great idea, you know what I'm just going to do? I'm going to hit the windshield wiper washer stuff. It took it to the next level. I mean, we were in heaven for a moment. Sam is in the front seat. He's screaming, I can't see anything. Victor's crying. He doesn't know what's going on. It's a craziness, and I'm driving between my house and Redmond Road, and the road goes like this. If someone's walking, they're with Jesus. I don't know. And it's so bright, and you can't see anything. And you're going to ask me to make a decision to move forward. That's what sin does. I'm gonna just go like this and just walk. That's not wise. Sin messes up how you see things. And all of a sudden you're going to be making decisions that are completely contrary to what God has. Why? Because that's just how you see it. Joshua says, here's the plan. You're going to have to be able to see the ark. And it's going to be really important tonight that you sanctify yourself. Because God's going to lead us to a place we've never been before. Hey, Christian. God desires to lead you to a place maybe you've never been before. But it's going to take you being sanctified so you can see what's before you. So how do I do that? Through the Word of God. You neglect the Word of God, it's tough to understand His guidance. You suppress the Holy Spirit of God in speaking to you. It sure is hard to hear Him. He doesn't always talk with thunderings and booms. A lot of times He talks with a still small voice. Man, that gets blurry sometimes when you got all the world chirping in your ear. It's so important to be attentive to the Word of God. So important to know His promises and be able to follow His leading. Say, why are you so peppy this morning, excited? Because for just a moment, you get a view of who God is and who He says He is. Man, that's a good thing in our heart. I'm excited. Say, don't you know what's going on in the Ukraine and Russia and the economy and all those things? Yeah. But I'm following a different leader. The Lord Jesus Christ is our captain. And He may be leading us to the Jordan River, and you may look at this and go, what on earth? I've never been here before. Yeah, but I know who's leading me. What is the purpose of this? Why? Ever ask the question, God, why do you do what you do? We were in young adults today, and Nathan was teaching about God's will. And he kind of alluded to it. One question we can't really always get the answer to. We certainly can see what He's doing, but why He does what He does sometimes, it makes me, I don't know. If I knew why, then I guess I'd be the Lord. Why didn't He just take them around? Why do we have to go through? Why couldn't we go around? You know what? And there's things in your life that you may say, God, can't we just bypass this? Can't we go around this? And He says, no, I want you to go through this. Why? Well, Joshua helps us with that. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant. This is our purpose. Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Praise the Lord, they obeyed exactly what He said. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Why are we going through the Jordan River? Just to prove and show them it's me. It's me. In verse 10, it says, and Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. We need the crossing of the Jordan River. Why? Because we're going to look back when that thing closes, and we're going to look in front of us again. I'm going to see this land filled with people and go, I don't know. There's no doubt in my mind that we should be here, because the only way we could have got here was by God. And this is going to strengthen your faith. Going through the Jordan River is going to help you for the first battle. Understand that. God is going to get the glory. And going through that difficult thing or going through that crossing, that step of faith, it's going to help prepare you for future battles. Romans 4:20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hey, that's how we ought to walk. By faith, giving glory to God. Remember this, God's ways and God's thoughts are different than yours and mine. How he does things, Nathaniel, is much different than how I do things. Thank goodness. Because God is very much aware of all the things that are going on around us. And he has a perfect plan. And at the end of this, all would know that God was going to use Joshua. So here they go. Joshua chapter number 3 and verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passed over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every man, or out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. How many? Water seeks its own level. When we were camping, we remember we walked up to this pond, and just the scenery and how the hill was, it looked like the pond was tipped. But we know water cannot be tipped like that. So it was just messing with our mind. But here, he says, water is going to stand up on a heap, a pile of water. We call that snow. I mean, we can make piles of water, but it's not flowing. That's pretty amazing. Verse 14, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan that the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and this is a little bit different than the Red Sea. God used Moses, parted the Red Sea, and then they crossed. For the priests to carry the ark, holding the staves, the guys in front, that's scary. Why? Because they had to get all the way in before the feet of the guys in the back touched. They had to get in there before the waters parted. I'll cross over when it's dry. I'll cross over when the way has been paved smooth. God says, no, you're going to have to go through some things. Not until they stepped in the water does the water part. God is looking for you to take a step of faith that he might do wonders among you. And what is that step of faith? That's a great question. I'll tell you this. I know this. It is to obey him. Whatever that is, it is to obey him. In Luke 6:46, it says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What a great question for us. Lord, I love you. Thank you for saving me. Okay, I want you to go here. I don't want to do that. Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, he says, you shall eat of the good of the land. Look at Ephesians chapter number 6. Say, what is God asking me in a step of faith? What is he just wants you to obey him. Do what he says. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. God desires that you obey him. Say, that's not a step of faith. Then you're not human. Because I want to do things my way, the way I feel comfortable with. What benefits me. I don't want to go through anything. I just want the blessings. I want the promised land without the crossing. the essential prerequisite for faith is trust. And the prerequisite for trust is love. God, I love you. He says, okay, then you can trust me. And with that trust comes faith. God, I believe that you're going to do what you say you're going to do, and I just got to have the faith to go forward. So I'm going to ask you here today, as they crossed over in the red, crossed over the Jordan, go back to Joshua chapter number 3, we'll finish our story. They passed over by faith. In verse 15, and as they bear that ark, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. It wasn't like a cool, easy pond. This thing was moving. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam. Imagine what that looked like. That is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I don't know about your plan, God. Well, now we see the end. Now we see them cross, and they look back and go, wow, look at where God just brought us. But in the middle, the first feet to touch the water. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Because I love him, I can trust him, and because I trust him, that's going to require a step of faith. What is that? Obedience to whatever it is he said. So what is the Lord talking to you about? You may be standing at the banks of the Jordan. Man, I've been sitting here waiting for so long. Has your heart been strengthened? God's timing is critical. It went from deadly to divine very quickly, in 3 days. Had they jumped into the water, had they gone across, the water wouldn't have parted. They had to wait for God's perfect timing. Done in our time, it will kill us. We have to rely on God's perfect timing. So it's his guidance. His preparation is necessary. That sanctification was an important part of crossing that Jordan. And the purpose, that God might get glory. So will you take the step of faith? Say, what is that? Is that to move to Africa? Is that to quit my job and sell everything? It's to obey what God is telling you. What is it that God is speaking to you about? Man, he's telling me to get rid of this stuff in my life, and I just love it. Well, it's going to take some faith. It's going to take some love, it's going to take some trust, and it's going to take some faith. What is it that God is working in your heart with? Maybe you felt like for a long time you've just been wandering, and here you are standing on the bank of the river, and you're like, this did not get any better. Maybe you're in the time of waiting right now, and you've been fighting that. And instead of getting strengthened in your heart, you've been getting bitter and doubting, is there even a God? I have questions. That waiting on the Lord is a tough time. I'm telling you, that's one of the hardest times as a Christian will ever face. I'd rather be moving forward. When stuck in traffic, if I know a better way, if it takes me 20 extra minutes, so what? I'm just moving. I can't stand just sitting in locked traffic. Sometimes the Lord just has us waiting. And there we find ourselves, the banks of the Jordan. I don't want to go through this. I'd like to go around this. And God says, no, we're going through. Because what I have for you on the other side, you're going to need this. Let's all stand. Where are you at this morning? Find yourself on the banks of the Jordan, just waiting on God. Don't get frustrated there. That's an important part of your life. Maybe God is asking you to take a step. Yeah, but the water looks cold. I don't know. It's really moving along. Is this really what God's plan? Why don't you just trust Him? Understand it's for His glory. God's timing is critical. Do not get ahead of the Lord. Say, I don't know what God is leading me for. Why don't you come ask Him? If He had a plan for the nation of Israel, He's got a plan for your life. Simply ask Him. Heavenly Father, we ask that You bless this time of invitation. Lord, if someone here today is not saved and they cannot hear Your voice, God, I pray that today would be the day that they put their faith and trust in You. God, if there's some soul here today that's just been wandering, and God, You've led them to the banks of the Jordan, and now faith is required to move forward, God, I pray You'd give them courage. As we wait upon You, it takes courage to just wait. God, I pray You'd help us. God, we know that Your timing is perfect timing, and we want to work in that. Lord, we are open and listening to Your leading. God, help us to have the faith. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? Are you trusting Him? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. God, this is not the direction I thought I was going to go in. Yeah, but this is where God has led you. Remember, God's timing is critical. It went from deadly to divine in 3 days. It went from something that would kill them to something that will be a strength to their faith. Hey, are you trying to get around something God is leading you through? Maybe you've been given that very difficult task. Wait. Lord, give me the strength. Give me the patience to wait on You. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God takes sanctification and holiness serious.
appreciate your patience while those who are praying. And on your way out, make sure you swing through the kitchen there and grab some goodies, please. If you could help us by not opening bags of popcorn throughout the building, unless you would like to be on our cleaning team, and which we will gladly accept, but still reject the opening of popcorn. So if you can help us with that, that would be a blessing. Free to take it home with you and enjoy it in the confines of your own palace. Make sure you stop at the boxes there and be a blessing and encouragement to our college kids. And if you can write them a note or put a little thing in the box, that would be a blessing. Also, if you're interested in having Pastor Ackham for dinner, either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday evening, please let me know. Transportation is required. He does not have a vehicle nor a driver's license. Well, he has a driver's license, just not in the United States of America. So, and you probably wouldn't want him driving your vehicle anyways. He's just driving on the other side of the road. So, you can give it a try. You want to have a good time, let Brother Ackham drive. And then take him through a roundabout, see how that goes. Because it makes my brain hurt when I go there. And anyways, we are blessed to be able to have the parsonage and be able to put him up over there for a little while before our missions conference. So if you're interested in doing that, I promise you, you'll get a blessing. He'll be a blessing to you, and you can be a blessing to him. All right, let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your leadership and guidance in our life. And God, you are that captain. You are the captain of the host, and God, we are a wandering people, and God, we don't know where to go. As Solomon said, the wisest man, I don't know how to go out or come in, and God, I feel like that. And God, just look to you. Lord, help us in the waiting process. Help us through the trials, that at the end, God, we want through our life that you would get honor and glory. Lord, we love you, and we need you. Watch over us now. Protect us throughout this afternoon. Bring us back safely tonight to yet again worship you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.